Good morning. The title of my presentation is Weed Control Strategies for Controlling Transgenic Herbicide-Resistant Volunteer Corn. And I appreciate John Holman and Kansas Group for raising this subject so that you've already been introduced to some of the issues here. My name is Peter Thomason. I'm a corn extension agronomist at Ohio State University. My co-authors are Mark Louts, who's our weed control, field crops weed control specialists, and Tony Dobbles and Alan Geyer, who are research associates. I'm going to see if I can get this okay. Replanting corn is a perennial issue in the Corn Belt. In Ohio, in 1 out of 4 years, excessive rainfall in April and May forces farmers to plant or replant much of their crop in late May or early June. In 2005, up to 80% of our corn was replanted in parts of the state in mid-May. In 2008, over 30% was planted after May 25th. In 2011, this past year, over 50% of our corn was planted after June 1st, during the first 2 weeks of June. Normally, of course, we'd like to plant our corn crop by May 1st would be nice, but by the first week of May, we'd like to have our corn crop planted. So that's the issue we're dealing with. Corn replanted due to hail, frost injury, and other stand establishment problems also contributes to late plantings. Well, eliminating the original corn stand in a replant situation has become more difficult in recent years for growers with the introduction of transgenic herbicide corns. It's hard to kill Roundup Ready corn with Roundup. Replanting glyphosate Roundup and glufosinate ignite resistant corns more complicated than replanting conventional corn. And I'm going to use those trade names in this presentation today. If we have pre-existing corn, if pre-existing corn is allowed to grow, does it adversely affect replant corn? Is it a weed? Is extent of pre-existing crop survival a consideration? How does pre-existing and replant corn compete? How do different herbicide programs affect performance? The study was conducted in southwest Ohio at an Ohio research farm near Dayton in 2009 and 2010. On a Kokomo silty clay loam. The objective was to identify effective herbicide treatments for killing the first stand of corn when replanting herbicide-resistant corn. Our goal is to develop a cropping system for late-planted corn that increases profits and reduces risks. In this study, we planted Roundup Ready corn, glyphosate corn, planted in late April, about April 25th, and it was replanted with Roundup Ready Liberty Link corn. And that's glufosinate-resistant corn, Liberty Link corn, in late May, about May 26. Five herbicide treatments we considered. There were 11 in total. The first five were Paraquat, which I'll refer to as Gramoxone, Clethodim, Selectmax plus Roundup, Gramoxone plus Metribuzin, Syncor, Ignite, and Ignite followed by Ignite, the glufosinate treatments. Now, the premier treatment in Ohio, if you went to our corn extension specialist and asked him what to use in a replant situation, he would recommend Selectmax. That's our best treatment. But the problem with Selectmax is that it requires 6 days before you can replant. And for growers who are confronted with a late planting situation, they're planting June 5th and they have to plant, they have a late planting, have a requirement to plant, wait 6 days, they're interested in other options. These other treatments that I'm talking about here were applied at the replant time in late May. We also looked at six additional treatments. In these treatments, we planted Roundup Ready, non-Roundup Ready blend. For treatments 6 through 8, we used a 50-50 blend, where we had 50% of the seed was Roundup Ready, 50% of the seed was non-Roundup Ready. So it was susceptible. And then we replanted with a Roundup Ready Liberty Link hybrid, or Herculex hybrid. And then these treatments were subjected to Roundup plus followed by Gramoxone 2 days later, and Roundup followed by Ignite. And the idea here was with Roundup, with I should have mentioned these plots were established at 79,000 seeds per hectare. So with the Roundup treatment, and we had 50% survival, we were looking at stands about 150,000 plants per hectare. And then we roughed up the plants a little bit with Gramoxone, and we had one treatment where we followed by Ignite, where we basically killed the plant. The Ignite was applied 3 weeks after the late May planting and mid-June. And then a similar set of treatments with 25%, which, again, might be more similar to what most growers run into. It might be not quite as extreme. But, again, with these three different herbicide treatments to create not large number of surviving plants, a number of surviving plants with retarded growth, and then plants that died slowly. This gives you some idea of what these blends look like. This is a situation where we had the 50-50 blend. It was with a Roundup-ready application. This is June 26th. The Roundup has killed the non-Roundup components. And you can see the differences in plant growth between the original stand, which is on the right, on the left, and the replant on the left, on the right, I mean. And this is Roundup. So the plants are pretty intact. And this might be a little unusual for most replant situations, because in most replant situations, our original stand has been damaged a little bit. So maybe it's more comparable to something like this. In this case, we have the 50-50 blend. We've planted, replanted with a Roundup-ready Liberty Link hybrid. And in this case, the retarded, you can see the original stand was retarded. The differences in plant growth are similar, because of the application of the gramoxone, but still, and we're looking at the same, approximately the same stands in this situation. Large numbers of original plants surviving. Now, these plots were about 13 meters in length, 76 centimeter rows. Plots were treatments were replicated four times in randomized complete block design. The data collected included grain yield, vegetative growth stages, leaf collars, planted ear heights, and percent nub and ears. And by percent number of ears, I'm using that's a term that we use to characterize small ears with a limited number of kernels, probably not very harvestable. This is a picture. This is data from 2009, and I collected ear samples from each of the 11 treatments, starting with the gramoxone on the far left, going through to Roundup with followed by Ignite at the very far right. The first five treatments show what the ears look like, and what we looked at, what we have here is on the left, for each one of those ear samples, on the left side we have the original ears from the original stand, and on the right is we have an ear from the replant. In some cases, as you see for SelectMax, which is a very effective treatment, we don't have any replant ears, same for the gramoxone plus Centaur. However, for Ignite followed by Ignite, we still had a few plants that were producing in the original stand that were producing some nub and ears. You can see, though, that when we had Roundup followed by gramoxone, Roundup followed by without any other herbicide application, so we had a large number of surviving plants. We had that number in the black inside those ears represents the number of nub and ears, and we had a large percentage, 40% in that particular treatment where 50% of the plants were allowed to survive. 21% where we have roughed them up a little bit with gramoxone. This shows the yield differences, and then this shows the yield differences associated with the different plant populations at harvest. The premier treatment that I mentioned, the SelectMax plus Roundup, out-yielded the blends where we had a large number of surviving plants with Roundup. But there were other treatments that were comparable in yield to the premier treatment, the SelectMax. You can see the differences, though, in population that were associated with different yields. For the gramoxone treatment, where we didn't kill the plants outright, we had over 150,000 plants per hectare. Where we used SelectMax, we had about the same. We pretty virtually eliminated the original stand. We were looking at a little over 79,000 plants per hectare. I don't have ear samples for the 2010 data, and I should mention that the years were somewhat different. 2009 was some of you may remember in the Eastern Corn Belt, fairly cool year, adequate rainfall, actually a good growing season, growing favorable conditions for corn. 2010 was warmer, but we had adequate rainfall, actually pretty good rainfall at this location. So both years were very favorable for corn production. The red bars here indicate the original stands that were 100% Roundup ready corn. The yellow bars indicate the 50-50 blend, where 50% of the plants were killed by Roundup. We had 50% of those plants surviving. And then the white bars indicate a 25-75% blend. You can see here, that again, fairly similar treatment effects. So the premier treatment, the SelectMax plus Roundup, provided the best control. It out-yielded the treatments involving the blends where there were surviving plants. However, there were other treatments in 2010 that produced yields that were comparable to Premier treatment. And it appeared that when we look at plants per hectare, those black numbers there on the far left, we didn't see as much of a relationship or a detrimental effect associated with the higher plant populations. Some of the gramoxone treatment, for example, was not significantly different from the SelectMax treatment, but it had 131,000 plants versus 71,000 plants for the, a little over 71,000 plants for the SelectMax treatment. And then nubbins. You would think the plot treatments that had a high percentage of nubbins might suffer yields. The gramoxone treatment, for example, had 55%, but again, it didn't appear to impact yields. And again, we saw similar numbers of nubbins in the Roundup treatment, where we had 50% in the Roundup blend treatment with 50% of the plants surviving. There were differences in development between the replant and the original stand. You can see the original stand was probably well into this grain fill stages on the right, whereas the replant stands were just soaking. Maybe a little bit better difference here would be showing this table shows the herbicide treatment effects on growth stages of the original plant stand and the replant. These were dates in early July where the plants were just beginning, the original stand was just beginning to tassel or silk. In 2009, we saw about up to a 5 leaf collar difference in stage of development between the replant and the original stand. In 2010, it was as much as a 10 leaf collar stage difference. So major differences in both years as far as development. We saw differences in plant height and between the replant and the original stand. You can see in this case, the replant with an ear that's several feet higher than the original plants. Where we used gramoxone, we saw what's been reported sometimes in the past, where the ears were actually very close to the ground level, where gramoxone was used to kill the original stand. So it's a harvest stability issue, possibly. Here we're looking at herbicide treatment effects on plant height of the original and the replanted corn. It's a little difficult here to compare 2009 and 2010 because these measurements were taken at different times, the 2009 in June and 2010 in July. But they do indicate these differences in plant height, differences in potential competition between the two different stands. The results, herbicide treatment effects on grain yield were generally similar each year. The treatments that provided the most rapid and complete kill of the original Roundup Ready corn were also the highest yielding. The SelectMax, Sencor, and the two applications of Ignite. There were some more herbicide treatments in 2010 that were also comparable. Higher plant densities, greater than 90,000 plants per hectare, were characterized by greater numbers of nubbin ears and uneven crop development both years, but effects on yield were inconsistent. In 2009, herbicide treatments that allowed greater survival of plants from the original stand were associated with lower yields, but in 2010, yield of the herbicide treatment that allowed the greatest survival of plants, the gramoxone treatment, which allowed over 130,000 plants per hectare, were not different from the highest yielding herbicide treatment that completely killed the original stand, the Premier treatment that I mentioned, the SelectMax plus Roundup. Varying environmental conditions can affect the efficacy of herbicide treatment. Some of the variability we saw probably had to do with the differences in temperature of those 2 years, 2009 being an exceptionally cool year, and 2010 being warmer during these periods when the herbicide applications were made. To ensure consistent control, we recommend that growers select herbicides that provide the most rapid and complete kill of the original herbicide-resistant corn. But I think our results do indicate that there are these situations where you have, I always hear them once or twice during the year, where your grower says he has kind of inadvertently got twin-row corn out there. And he's got a plant stand of 60 to, we use English terms, but 60 to 70,000 plants per acre. And surprisingly, at the end of the season, he will report that he didn't see any differences as far as yield. But of course, it's variable probably with weather conditions. Now, there are other issues that we didn't explore in this study. Differences in grain moisture at harvest. We waited until the corn was well below 20%, so we couldn't determine whether that replant corn might have had a significant impact in delaying the crop maturity. It probably did, because both these years the corn was harvested well into November, so that's a consideration. And there are also ear and plant height differences, stem stock diameter differences, and certainly these could contribute to stock lodging, but fortunately we didn't run into major lodging problems. Thank you. No, we haven't. I didn't include that, no. That's something, though, this is kind of an ongoing project, so that's something we'll definitely consider.
Yes.
But I guess...
It needs to be an extremely important part in the Delta because of the seed price and things like that, and you've got to include your chemical treatments and so forth. And seed is eating us alive.
Right. And, of course, this volunteer corn problem is endemic. It's a couple years ago when I go and... across Ohio, looking at us, especially soybean fields where it's very obvious. Didn't see much volunteer corn, but in recent years, this past year especially, I've just seen tremendous numbers of fields with large numbers of volunteer corn plants. So it's, yes?
One of the endemic problems with replant is by the time people decide that they don't like what they have, it's too late to effectively control what's up with herbicide. Have you considered the possibility to just run through it, rough cultivate, take what's ever in a row? Knock the rest out.
I think that'd be an interesting study. Yeah. I think there's growers that have done that.
I think it's a good idea. That used to be standard fare.
Yeah.
Just set up and plant it over.
Yeah.
Or just cultivate what you got. Whatever's there, just rip through it and then just plant back through it.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes accounts for some of these fields that I've seen in the past where the growers have reported these very high populations and they still end up with respectable yields.
What stage was your corn in, your original corn in, was put herbicide?
Probably between V5 and V6 at the latest. Five and six leaf colors. Thank you.